2005-46, Bill Link and Elmo Singer.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Seaford 100, Sussex County, dividing 16.25 acres into 15 lots, located northwest of Burton Street, 46 hundredths of a mile north of Road 535. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee on November 23rd of 2005. I've received no additional comments since that date. That's all I have right now.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there someone here on behalf of the applicant?
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering. Here this evening representing Link Singer LLC. Unfortunately, both of our clients had an emergency this evening and could not make it, so we're going to present on their behalf, and hopefully we'll be able to answer any questions that you may have.
This plan different than the plan that was submitted to us? Because the plan we had submitted to us was by Miller Lewis.
The original plan was submitted by Miller Lewis, Inc. Surveyors, and Kircher Engineering was contracted by the clients. Once the Technical Advisory Committee comments were made, we addressed the Technical Advisory Committee comments and had resubmitted the plan.
When did you resubmit the plans?
Probably about 4 or 5 months ago.
I haven't seen a person. They weren't in the file. That's why I say that.
The plans as shown are not in the file?
No. Anything in the file is plans from Miller Lewis.
We have a Miller Lewis plan, and that's all we have.
Yep. It looks like the same thing, but
It is the same. It is the same. The only difference being the buffer that was required along the northern side of the property, contiguous to the lands of Branson S. Smith.
Is it a fair statement to say that the only changes were those that were resolved in TAC committee?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah, there was not a revision in the way of density.
Okay, well, go ahead.
As stated, here this evening representing Link Singer LLC, they are proposing to subdivide a 16.25 acre parcel into 15 single family lots. The lots would be a minimum 3/4 acre in size. They would be utilizing individual lot wells for their wastewater treatment and individual wells for their potable water. The subdivision as shown is landlocked. It does not have a direct access to a Sussex County road. The plan as it's shown and was originally presented by Miller Lewis shows an access coming off of Burton Street, which is within the Indian Village subdivision. The roads within the Indian Village subdivision are currently maintained by the Delaware Department of Transportation, and plans were submitted to the Delaware Department of Transportation for their comment. As a result of DelDOT's review, our clients, if approved, would be responsible for converting the cul-de-sac at the end of Burton Street into a T-shaped intersection rather than a cul-de-sac. They would also be responsible for overlaying the roads Burton Street and Main Street within the Indian Village subdivision. Burton Street itself is 0.39 miles long, and Main Street is 0.095 miles long, or 2,560 feet. The existing roads are tar and chip, so they would be responsible for putting a 2-inch Type-C hot mix over those existing roads, and DelDOT would still maintain the maintenance of those roadways. The roadways within the subdivision, as shown, would be the maintenance responsibility of a homeowners association that would be formed. Those would not be, upon comment from DelDOT, be taken further into their maintenance responsibility. The roads would be designed to Sussex County engineering standards. Also, the homeowners association would also be responsible for the maintenance of the wooded buffer, as it stated, shown along the northern property line, contiguous to the lands of Branson S. Smith. As part of the design of the subdivision, we are proposing a stormwater management area approximately 3/4 acre, which would lie adjacent to the William H. Newton ditch. The results of soils investigation has found that the soils in the area actually have a rather deep limiting zone, and they also have a rather rapid infiltration rate. This was mentioned earlier this evening on another application. They recharge into the the groundwater system. This would be a means of helping to provide a natural recharge into the existing groundwater system. As mentioned, with access to Indian Village subdivision, as presented, and I don't know, Lawrence, if I remember you mentioning, but our clients at least had stated that they'd submitted some letters from residents in the Indian Village subdivision. I don't know if you mentioned that was part of the application.
I didn't mention, but we do have the, we have a copy of the approval of over 51%.
Okay. Our clients did approach the Homeowners Association of Indian Village regarding access through their development, as was required by the Delaware Department of Transportation. They did obtain the majority. The residents did supply letters not objecting to the roads within the Indian Village subdivision being used as a part of access for this subdivision. It should also be noted, again, that the Indian Village subdivision is adjacent to this property for access. There are 45 existing lots in Indian Village subdivision. One of those lots is actually, ownership has been obtained by our clients, and the lot in question, as mentioned, is shown where the access would be coming off of Burton Street. So, as stated, it's one of those things where, you know, there will be, although access to the existing subdivision, there will be improvements to the existing streets and the stormwater management as part of that construction effort, if approved through that development. Our clients are proposing that there would be a minimum 1,500 square foot building size to any of the homes within the development, a minimum 1,800 square foot footprint for any two-story homes. As stated, there will be a homeowner association responsible for the maintenance of the open spaces, the roadways, and the stormwater management area, unless the homeowners association so decides to hire a firm such as EnviroTech to come in and maintain those open spaces, so they would not be responsible. The homes, also should be mentioned that those will be stick-built. The owners of the property, the prospective developers, would be building out a little over half the lots themselves, 15 lots. Eight of those lots would be sold under lot home packages, with the remainder of those lots being available for a lot purchase with a builder option. That's all that I have in the way of the presentation. If there's any questions, we're definitely here to entertain anything you may ask.
All right, sir, we'll find out. Mr. Gordon, we'll start with you.
Do you have your septic feasibility yet?
No, we as stated, we came on kind of late in the application procedure. The soils test has been performed. Those have been submitted to Denerec, but we have not yet obtained the non-binding feasibility statement from Denerec.
And you were stating about a wooded buffer?
Correct.
Adjacent to agriculture land? Is
that yes, there is. In fact, if you... apparently, I guess the plan is shown, you don't have copies of. Under the general notes, note number 17 references the agricultural protection note that Mr. Robertson had mentioned earlier in the evening. This was required, which would be required on the final plat, and as we understand in the deeds, for any of the lots adjacent to those properties.
So how far from this proposed subdivision is to the nearest county road as far as...
Well, Burton Street is 0.39 miles long, and that kind of seamlessly ties into Main Street. The total length is 2,560 feet, so you're looking at, you know, I guess a little over a half a mile or close to half a mile of roadway. And the closest road is Middleford Road, which is County Road 535. That's where the entrance would be. Also using the Burton Street and Main Street for access. And not only would they be responsible for, as mentioned, overlaying the existing subdivision streets, they would be also responsible as part of their application, if it gets to that point, submitting calculations for the traffic that's generated, as shown on this plan. I don't know if it's shown in the original plan or not. The trips as calculated for the existing subdivision are 498 trips per day, based on the Institute of Transportation Engineers manual. Including this subdivision with the Indian Village subdivision, there would be a total of 642 trips. So there would be an excess of 144 extra trips on top of the 498 for the existing subdivision. That being said, if it got to that point, our clients would be responsible for making improvements not only to the roads, but to the entrance from Middleford Road. DelDOT has actually already done a review of our calculations and has stated that the number of trips generated on top of what Indian Village is already experiencing. Our clients would be responsible for building a right turn deceleration lane to enter the subdivision. They would also be required to build a bypass lane on the opposite side of Middle Florida Road, so as to provide a protection for anyone who may be making a left turn into the subdivision.
So you'll be responsible for maintaining or improving?
Our clients.
Improving, yeah.
Correct. I don't have that kind of myself. But they will be responsible for improving those roadways.
Okay. How big a subdivision is Indian Village? Do you know it offhand?
We have 45 lots. I don't know if county records are any different. 45 lots in the state. They did purchase, since this property was originally landlocked, they did purchase one of those lots. So they retain ownership of one of the lots. So there are still 44 lots which are independently owned.
Indian Village was originally a portion of it. It was originally a mobile home community, a park, and then it was converted.
And as we understand it, I guess the minimum lot size in Indian Village was half an acre at the time it was originally recorded as measured.
That's probably right.
That's all the questions I have.
Mr. Smith?
Has or will a determination been made on lots 1 and 15 as to which subdivision street will be their front yard?
For the two roads as you enter the subdivision? Coming off of the Justin's Court, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I'm curious if you have or will there be determination whether it'll be Justin's Court or Natty Cat Way.
It'll be Natty Cat Way by regulation. You have to maintain a minimum depth of 100.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be wide enough to be fronting on to Justin's Court if that name stays the same.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lang. That's all.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
What about wetlands?
The wetlands delineation has been performed by Tom Noble of Environmental Resources Incorporated. As the delineation has only been completed recently, so the plan as shown does not show an area of wetlands. There is actually, if I may step over this area real quick, along William H. Newton Ditch, along the bottom of the slope here, where the stormwater management area is, coming off of the property before the property marker here, coming before the line bends, there is actually an area of federally jurisdictional 404 wetlands there. Those wetlands do leave the site before you get to the residential lot in the back.
So we're saying there's no wetlands included in any lots?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. There are wetlands on the property in the area of the stormwater management, but the wetland areas as delineated are not a portion of any of the subdivision lots. As we understand it, none of the portion of the lots are allowed to be also a portion of a wetland area.
I know you've been here before when we talked about that.
Yes.
Okay. And your stormwater management plan, is that going to be dry, wet?
It's going to be dry. It's going to be an infiltration basin. The results of the feasibility, of course, as stated, those were compiled and those were forwarded to Denerec. We're still waiting for that letter. The Conservation District, Sussex Conservation District, and the drainage side of Denerec will not allow us to submit any sort of storm or soil testing that was used to submit for feasibility studies for septics for our stormwater management. So alongside with the borings that were done for the feasibility for the septics, we also had borings done in the area of the stormwater management to get an idea of what the groundwater elevation was, the seasonal high groundwater, and what the infiltration rates were. Simply because if the basin were to be a dry basin and if the seasonal high water table were too shallow, there would have to be some type of, as was seen in many areas, a stormwater management structure from that pond with, say, an 18 or 24-inch pipe leaving that structure and going into the ditch. Knowing later that portions of that ditch were federal jurisdictional wetlands, in order to put some sort of device that would go into the ditch, it would be required to go through a permitting procedure with the Army Corps of Engineers for discharge. We were lucky in that the results of the soils testing in the stormwater management area were favorable. The infiltration rates were actually very rapid, and the seasonal high water table, although we are adjacent to the ditch, was actually very low. So in our preliminary investigation running our stormwater management calculations, we've actually found that the stormwater management area shown would be adequate to handle the subdivision, and not only that, it would be a dry basin, and it would be an infiltration basin.
And is there a particular reason why you're proposing a private road rather than state-maintained road, since obviously the state's requiring you to pave their roads?
We were actually informed by John Fiore and Mark Cote at the Dover Office of Delaware Department of Transportation that although Burton Street and Main Street, and also I believe there's another name, there's another street within the subdivision, the name escapes me, that they are state-maintained. Although that is the case, they will not maintain the roads as shown within the subdivision. We have been told that they're no longer accepting subdivision streets for maintenance within the county. So although there are roads that are state maintained that will have to be improved to the state standards, these roads would be, I guess, the jurisdiction of the county. They would be required to be built only to county standards. And again, the Homeowners Association would be required for their maintenance, but DelDOT would assume no maintenance for the roads as shown within this subdivision.
And the state gets some free paving.
Yes. Well, an overlay. The road now would not be completely demolished. It's right. A hot mix of the road existing, but there would be a new overlay, yes.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I
know what I mean.
New.
Yeah, I think it's just if it's not maintained, if it's not been upgraded to state standards, they're not going to maintain it.
Well,
and these obviously haven't been constructed.
If the streets in Indian Village are already supposed to be under state maintenance, they're in disrepair. They weren't in real good shape. And if the applicant's going to be required to improve those roads with 2 inches of hot mix, you would think that the streets that they're in this project should be built the same way.
Well, it's having that same thought. In fact, it seems to me that the state's reluctance to accept the streets is all the more reason to build them to a more rigorous spec than the county spec is.
The plans as we were originally given them by the Delaware Department of Transportation showing the contract, the original contract was made in 1989 for those roads. We were just
that's made when they were accepted. That's the last time they
correct. That's when the contract for the Indian Village was completed for the roadways within the development. So yes, we were informed that they would not accept it unless I imagine there's some sort of legal wrangling that would happen.
The reason we question that is because they're requiring you to overlay the existing streets serving access, and you end up providing a private street off an existing public subdivision street that's got could be a different type of material.
Well, the hot mix, the final coarse layer of the hot mix would be required to be the same depth, not only for their overlay of their roads, but also for this development, so that they would tie into each other. We've just been told that, you know, since the access would be through state-maintained roads, and since the roads are not up to what the current spec is, they would not require full excavation and build to what the current regulations are, but they would most definitely require that, I guess, a more durable surface be placed rather than the tar and chip. I'm assuming for ease of maintenance.
Right, sir?
Mr. Burton. Which house did you purchase? Which...
Our clients had purchased the lot where the road is coming in off of the cul-de-sac.
The right. Gray one?
Correct, where Justin's Court is coming off of Burton Street. That is the lot that they had retained ownership.
Okay.
That was
just a vacant lot.
That's the only way to have an access to the property. The parcel as was originally formed was landlocked. There was no access to either Burton Street or to Middleford Road. That was their only means of access.
But on your, have you revised your plat to show the existence of that old lot? You just show it as the entire whole.
Correct. We do show we do show it again as a portion of what is now the whole. But we do not show the current what was the line of division between the two properties. That's not shown on the plan.
Typically, on a preliminary plat, you should show that.
No further
questions. Council, anything else?
No, sir.
And Mr. Lank?
No, sir.
Mr. Robertson?
The commission's probably going to hate me for asking this, but...
I'm just goofing.
But if you could explain to me, since we don't have that plan,
sure.
If you could explain to me the difference between what's on there and what's on here. I think you talked about there's some buffers that are... different, because a lot of these lots on this plan, the Miller Lewis one, I mean, they're right at 3/4 acre, and
right.
I particularly want to make sure that, you know, you don't end up with any non-conforming lots, things like that.
We were actually able to make some of the lots larger than the 3/4 acre minimum, simply because we left the buffer in place along, as was mentioned, along the northern side of the property, adjacent to Branson Smith.
Okay.
The original plan, I believe, as you have it, also shows a buffer between this property and the lands of Scott Wogan,
right,
and also the subdivision, proposed subdivision, and Indian Village.
Okay.
We were able, I guess through conversation, after the technical advisory committee comments received and dialogue with the Planning and Zoning Office, it was determined that we could remove the 30-foot buffer between the proposed development and Indian Village because it's a residential development and was not being used, not being used for agricultural purposes. We were also informed that because the property next door, the Scott Wogan property, was currently wooded, that we were also not, we did not have to provide a 30-foot buffer between the proposed subdivision and the Scott Wogan property. And for those reasons, we eliminated the 30-foot buffers along the, I guess would be called the southern and the western property line, and that kind of opened things up to be able to make the lots a little larger than the minimum. I believe the lots as shown on the north side are still at the 3/4 acre minimum.
Okay. I thought you had said that you had added buffers. That's maybe where my
misunderstanding is. I apologize.
Yeah. Then what, you also mentioned there's a ditch or a tax ditch alongside, and on this Miller Lewis one, I think I know where it is, but I can't tell for sure. Maybe there's not one and it's just a ditch, but...
You're talking about along the western portion of the property?
I don't know. I thought you mentioned that there's a tax ditch somewhere, or at least a ditch.
We don't know it as a tax ditch. We definitely know it as William H. Newton Ditch. There was not a true, I guess, originally bottom of bank and then a top of bank shown on the other side. They, of course, limited the extent of their survey to the majority of the property. It does fall off, as you can possibly see, I guess, on their plan with the topography, and we'll most definitely, we could leave this plan understanding that it would not be made part of the, I guess, the record this evening.
That plan on your board is going to be part of the record.
Right, it'd be left here. But it does fall off towards that back area. The true ditch itself, as with most properties in the county, would form a common line between two properties. As at least surveyed by Miller Lewis, it's not shown as being, say, the property line as being the bottom of that ditch. It seemingly continues down off of the property towards the northwest.
Have you all verified whether it's an actual tax ditch with a ramification? It has a name. I mean, it has, you know, every indication that it is one.
Right. We would assume that more than likely it is because it is named. Most other ditches within the county don't have, typically the tax ditches have some sort of name associated with them, sometimes because of people who worked in the past for Denerec years ago and their name for them, or someone who may have owned a large portion of property along that tax ditch.
Because that's going to affect, like we talked about in one other one, you know, whether it's a maintenance easement. And I know Lawrence has said that they're typically 25 feet. They can be 10 feet, and I know of one near Dagsboro that was 250 feet, you know, so that's something that needs to be determined.
Yeah, it is. The typical maintenance easement, as what is required with any tax ditch, is 25 feet. Then the determination would be by Denerec's drainage section as to which side of that right-of-way it's on, of course, and that would have to be investigated. But the tax ditch easements, aside from the maintenance easement, actually are wider, and typically in farm fields they're around 50 to 70 feet, and in wooded areas that are up to over 200 feet, which can be changed with a court order.
Right. And then the last question, there's a solid line on the Miller Lewis survey in the area of the ditch that we're talking about, and I don't know, I can't tell if it shows up on yours or not. I was just wondering what the significance of that was. It's on the along the boundary next to Walter Sermon. Is it a wetlands delineation? It
goes through the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, and through lot 13.
Okay,
this line that runs right through there.
It's not shown, but more than likely on their plan, it looks like it's probably a line of division for either the soil type, could be A or B. It could be a tie line that the surveyors established when they did survey the property. I don't know. It's not delineated as a tie line on that plan. I would think that as it's shown, it looks to me like it is a division between,
the soils.
Oxyacquic, paleodult, and the denial soil, which is in the vicinity of the ditch.
I didn't know if it was an actual wetland. Yeah. Possibility could be wet.
Well, it is. In that area, as stated, along the, southwesterly portion of that property in the area of the stormwater management, there was a delineated 404 jurisdictional wetlands in that area.
Is there a floodplain in that area also?
I don't believe our
as mapped on the flood maps, it's in a zone X, unshaded, which is relatively common outside of the 0.2% annual chance floodplain for the 500-year event, which I guess basically means that it's out of the 500-year floodplain.
The property to the north, you're showing a buffer zone?
Correct, a 30-foot forested buffer.
What's on that property on the other side?
From what we understand, it's partially wooded and it's partially farmed.
Have you been there?
I have been there. But it's partially wooded and partially farmed. The plan as we show it, because some work on the plan was done after we had received it, the woods line on the plan is not shown on the plan as the surveyors have delineated it.
Aerial from the NRCS appears that it's all wooded.
Right. Well, this particular site is wooded. As I stated, they did not show a woods line on their plan. Typically, it's shown that there's a division.
I mean, if if it were an active agricultural activity, then you need to buffer. Or if it's a forest that's in a tree farm status with a maintenance agreement and with the Department of Agriculture, then you would be required to buffer. In this case, it appears to be all woodland.
We had actually notified our clients that because the adjacent property was wooded, that they could possibly, at least in discussions with planning and zoning, eliminate all the buffers around the property. The reason that they didn't do that was because they wanted to create some sort of exclusivity to the lots along the southern portion of the property adjacent to Indian Village. As stated in discussion, that the lots along the northern side of the property are basically right at that minimum 3/4 acre. The lots along the southern side of the development are in excess of 3/4 acre, some of them greater than 8/10, some of them greater than 9, and we do have one lot that's over an acre in size. As a sales point, they felt that it would create some sort of exclusivity, I guess, in the way of selling price, so that all the lots weren't 3/4 acre and would be at the same sale point.
Is there a way to access that buffer other than crossing someone's lot?
Not as shown. Other than, as we know, there's a 10-foot buffer, I guess, centering on all property lines. So other than the buffer that would exist as required, we're not showing an access to that open space. Although, because of the oversizing of a couple of the lots, we would be able to provide an access to that open space without it being a portion of a lot.
Yeah, you probably should. That's all I have.
Right, sir. Mr. Robinson,
no other questions?
Okay. All right, sir, if you will
take a seat. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-46, Bill Link and Elmo Singer? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-46? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. You may remain with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-47, Daryl Hudson.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 11.3 acres into two lots, located at the end of Kawan Drive, east of Route 30. This application did not have to go through TAC. It's an existing lot being divided into two. Mr. Hudson, according to the file, has obtained at least 51% of the owners within Kawan Acres. Thereby, he meets the criteria for the number of 51% of owners. And that's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there someone here representing this application?
That is I. Yep, Darrell Hudson.
Right, sir. Mr. Hudson, you've heard what our directors had to say. Is there anything